Welcome to LSE Limelight. This episode is a special with the SU Sabbatical Officers.
So you are the Sabbatical Officers for 2021/2022. So you've all been in this post since June of last year?
July.
Oh, great. Okay. So I think it'll be really useful if you all just go around and say who we are. So I'm Maisie, I'm the General Secretary. That's a joke. I'm the General Secretary. I'm just chatting to you guys. So yeah, we'll start with Josie and then we can go around. So you are the General
Secretary. I am. Hi, Maisie. I'm Josie. I'm the General Secretary.
I'm Fiza. I'm the Community and Welfare Officer.
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm the Education Officer.
Hello, I'm Ed. I'm the Activities and Development Officer.
Great. So now we know all of that, I think we should explain what those roles are. So the Gen Sec is...
The General Secretary is probably the kind of main point of communication between LSE and the LSE Students Union. So my job is on that.
It's really difficult
describing my job as well.
You can just say you're the president.
Yeah. I always use that.
You're the main character.
No.
So Josie, you're the GenSec, which means General Secretary. Can you explain what that is?
So the General Secretary is the main point of contact between LSE and the Students' Union. So I probably sit on the most committees and I sit on LSE Council, which is the main governing board of LSE. I'm probably the spokesperson for the Students' Union. And I also get to kind of dip my toes into all the work that the other subs are doing as well. So that's quite fun.
Cool. And then community and welfare, could you explain a bit what that is?
So I think the community and welfare role is like, it kind of covers a bit of everything.
Okay.
Given in the name, but anything to do with like sort of student like welfare, like housing, halls, like wellbeing, mental health, like all those sort of issues. But like, it is also like so far reaching that it can cover like, you know, like racial harassment, like sexual harassment, anything to do with like sort of your student experience at LSE and like just making sure that you're like sort of fitting in well and like having a good time, I guess.
Okay. And then Robin, your education.
Yeah, so for education officer, I guess it's a bit what I said on the 10, but it's kind of like thinking about all the different issues say at the moment about like assessment or like how education can be improved at LSE. So I spend quite a lot of time sitting on like these like committees, which are like just meetings with like education staff at LSE about like how assessments are going to go or like kind of lost this as well. Too much detail, right?
Okay, so it's great.
I like sit on lots of committees talking about like different education issues, how we can improve assessment, how we can improve teaching, how we can support like GCAs, and thinking about like the future of education.
That's very cool. And then last, but definitely not least, Ed, activities and development.
Thank you. I think, yeah, it's definitely the least serious. broadly speaking, sort of, I just oversee the sports clubs and societies at the Students' Union, as well as sort of other events and activities that go on. So I do activities in all the outlets, including Tons and which is sort of our most popular, but then also the first floor and sixth floor of the Students' Union building, which is where we are now, which perhaps needs a little bit more promotion. So this is a really good platform. And then in terms of the development side of things, probably something that gets overlooked, probably even by myself, but probably the most exciting project I've done on that side is being involved in all of the Marshall building planning, which, for those who don't know, is that big building site.
Yeah, it looks like a hotel.
Does it?
It does to me. I
sit on various committees and have and make varying like important make decisions on varying level of importance. So this morning we talked about what color we'd like the music practice room.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, that's been a really great experience as well.
Cool. Okay, so the first thing I want to ask you guys is about the consent training, just because that's something you've all introduced for this year. And I know it's compulsory for first years, and I just wondered what motivated that decision and what do you think the payoff is going to be? I can start with Robin, I guess.
Yeah, happy to go. We're really like pleased with how the consent training has sort of come about. So Consent Ed is what we sort of called the program, but it all started off with the work of Laura, the previous community and welfare officer last year, who essentially like went to LSE and said, look, this is obviously a really important issue, with all the things around Sarah Everard last year, and I think it was like very much on LSE's horizon. So managed to get some support for funding Consent Ed, but LSE didn't want to do it sort of in-house, they didn't want to do it themselves, so we took it upon ourselves to try and like design a curriculum. Faisal and I kind of spent our summer being like, what does consent mean, talking to like loads of different people, and I think we learned a lot like doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Consent is right, so I'm pretty given reversible. I don't know why we're going through this.
Freely given
it's reversible, so you can change your mind, like you might give consent at the beginning, but like to end up not feeling it, can reverse at any time.
Informed.
So, and that's like things like saying like if you agree to have sex with a condom but then the condom's taken off, like that's not consent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Enthusiastic.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then S is
like specific, like context specific. So if you say yes in this specific context, then it only applies to that situation and not like other situations.
Yeah, don't take always yes and run with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that was like a big thing. And I think we kind of like learned a lot. And I think a lot of people have given lots of good feedback that they feel like they've learned things. And it's not so much just about like what is consent. It's also about like if you see a situation that's not quite right and you think doesn't quite sit right with me there, like how can you intervene, like whether that be like a friend or like just a complete stranger if you're thinking something looks a bit iffy there. So that's been really useful. And yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about who we've offered it to.
So we started off kind of offering it initially to like first years as compulsory, the session. So like there's an online training part and then there's an in-person part. So the online part, we sort of encouraged all students during freshers to like sort of take part in it, including like sort of master students. And then the in-person sessions were like, okay, first year, it's compulsory for you guys because you're coming to university, you've been online for like the last 2 years, it's like a new environment, you're really vulnerable. Like you guys are the ones that we want to like sort of shape your next 3 years at LSE. So it was really compulsory for them. And then we sort of expanded it as we went along. So we also thought, who else should it be compulsory for? And then we sort of moved on to the core committee members of different clubs and societies. So that includes the president, general secretary, and the treasurer. There's like a core.
No, not quite. So every single club or society has a president or club captain, a secretary or social secretary, and a treasurer.
That was basically the same thing. So we sort of expanded it to those roles because obviously they're like sort of the leaders in their like clubs and societies, and they're the ones who
the voices.
Pretty much, and also the ones who like first years might go to something happens at one of their events or whatnot. Yeah. So those are the ones that we sort of get it towards being compulsory, and we've gotten like a good attendance from them. And then from there, it went like we've expanded even more. Do you want to talk about the clubs?
Yeah, so we've had lots of the sports clubs booking to organise their own sessions for all of their members. So they're contributing from their own budget to do that, and then we're subsidising it slightly. So we've had men's rugby last week. This week we've had women's rugby, hockey, athletics and running, lacrosse, sign up, and there'll probably be a few more as well. And if you are interested in booking a consent ed session for your club, it's £30 per session. Please just give us a message and we'll organise that for you. It's been really good and the feedback's been so positive. Lots of the clubs then had like a social afterwards.
Wow.
And it's a really like welcoming open space, which I think encourages discussion a lot more and makes people feel a lot more comfortable if they're doing it with their friends and they feel like
questions.
They can ask questions. Exactly, if you're in a room of people who you don't know, you might feel a bit embarrassed asking what you deem kind of a stupid question, but it really does show that it's a safe space when you're doing it with your mates.
Can I just ask, is that just sports clubs or is that any society?
Yeah, all societies as well can book. We've had more interest from sports club, especially because if you want to attend Carol and you're a first year,
you
must have gone to Consent Ed, and also if you're a core committee member, you must have attended a Consent Ed session. But yeah, any societies, please do book as well.
Yeah, really encouraging everyone to do it. And the only thing to mention is like, as much as we're saying it's compulsory for Cara, like if someone, you know, for whatever their experience, obviously it's a really difficult issue to talk about, and like unfortunately a lot of people have experienced like traumatic things, it's, you know, it's, you can be exempted from it if you don't feel comfortable. Again, yeah, just get in touch, like and yeah, obviously, but we do really encourage, if you do feel able to go to a lot of, we've tried to be really sensitive about the content, so hopefully it's something that everyone can engage in.
Yeah, there's like trigger warnings throughout the like workshop, and then a lot of it is like active bystanders, so it's more like putting you in the third person position rather than being right, like okay, if this happens to you, which yeah, obviously can okay, be very triggering. Yeah. So it's more been like, okay, if it happens like a friend or like you're a stranger, kind of removed from the situation, and like yeah, you're helping someone rather than putting you in that position of being either like a victim or a perpetrator. So right, we've kind of like tried to avoid that, but obviously it can be sort of like traumatic or like it's triggering for some people. So we're happy for people to like sort of reach out to us and be like, I've done the online training, for example, which is like has like way less content in it. I don't feel comfortable doing it in person, and then yeah, we're working with that. But yeah, we're really conscious that obviously like survivors, and we don't want to like, we're not really equipped to sort of deal with that.
Yeah, and then I want to ask you, because you keep talking about Carol, and I had no idea what Carol was, and I've never even been to a Carol, and I've never been to you guys. I feel famous over here. But yeah, can you explain what it is?
Maisie, you need to go to Carol this year.
I'm not in the sports society.
It's fine.
You can still play just
join,
for Carol.
Yeah, yeah. The Carols are 24-hour drinking slash clubbing extravaganza.
Oh my God.
You dress up in fancy dress with your sports team. Yeah. So I was in a chorus, and we did the 12 Days of Christmas. I think I was a dancing lady. And then the year after, we did a Christmas dinner. And I think I was a candy cane, although I don't really know when that sort of Christmas. I wanted to be a pig in a blanket, but that was a third year. Disappointing. But it's so good. You start off, you probably go for pre's at your social sex house, then you will go for a Wetherspoons breakfast. I mean, it's different for every club, but this is what I did. And then you go to the venue, which is the SU nightclub
basement.
Then you have a
and
pilgrimage.
It's only 11 a.m.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 11 a.m. Then you go to zoo, then you go for dinner, maybe have a little break. Some people die at that point.
Yeah.
Then you go back for your social sex or your president's house for more pre's, and then you go back to the venue for the nightclub.
Oh wow,
it's so amazing.
It's an extravaganza.
Yeah, you're going to die afterwards.
I just because I'm in Leicester Square at like lunchtime being yeah, drunk in fancy dress is like such an experience.
It's so good.
Okay, thank you for breaking it down. So I want to ask you all, I know you've all just done the COVID thing as well, and you have a lot of first year students who obviously spent a lot of their sixth form doing that, a lot of master's students as well who maybe did the university experience or the working world by that, and I wondered, obviously that was a massive challenge for everyone, but maybe aside from that, or if this is the biggest challenge you had, but I wondered what were the sort of challenges you had when you were students at LSE, and are those the things that motivated you to take these roles? I can start with Ed.
I would say, it's hard to articulate this, but I think whatever struggles I had when I was at university, I think it was definitely on the academic side of things.
Mm-hmm.
More probably mainly related to workload. And I think the best times I had at university, and like all the memories I made from it, were just sort of being in sports clubs and societies and doing events and stuff like that, which is actually probably what did motivate me to take this role specifically, activity and development. So actually I would say, yeah, it's the opposite. If anything, like sort of the good times I had motivated me to take the role up.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, in terms of like major struggles, yeah, it'd just be workload. It'd just be you get two summers in 1 week and sort of chase up on you, and then
yeah,
you get a bit stressed out and stuff like that. But I was glad I always had like societies, and mainly men's football was the main sports club I did. That was like a good break and a good place to like hang out with friends and like forget about the workload for a little bit.
And then Robin, what about you?
Yeah, biggest challenge is hard, and I think like managing all the different things that are going on and like feeling like you want to be involved in everything, but then like Ed said, like the studying aspect of it, and sort of like how you manage your time, it's still a big struggle for me. I'm always late. But like yeah, no, so I think that was a big challenge. The other thing that Ed and I were talking about earlier, which I think is an important like challenge to talk about, is like imposter syndrome and like actually like being arriving at LSE feeling a little bit like, oh, like, you know, yeah, I'm meant to be here. And I think that for me, I was quite lucky. That's something that I sort of maybe overcame like later on. But I think, you know, something that we're all really passionate about is like working about how we support people from less privileged backgrounds to really have the best time at uni. And I think that's shaped a lot of our work so far.
Great. Kind of similar to what Robin has said, like I feel like when I came to LSE it was so different from where I came from, so like and also like I don't drink and stuff like that, so like not just academically imposter syndrome but also socially. Kind of socially as well. So I think initially, like, to be fair, I actually just sort of like was very social, so I don't think I struggled with it, but it was like a big like change and adjustment. I was like, oh my god, like I was looking around, I was like, this is not like me at all.
Yeah.
But I think pre-pandemic I did like sort of really get involved and I sort of like really immerse myself at in LSE and everything, so in that sense, like, sorry. Oh my god, thank you guys. I do think I kind of like got over it a little bit, but I think the social side, but I think the imposter syndrome in like academics, I don't think I ever actually got over that in the 3 years I was like, yeah. I feel like obviously it got easier, you kind of got used to like how to write the summatives and how to do the exams and just like a learning process, but I don't think that whole feeling of like, you know, in class and you're like speaking and like you confident about your thing, I'm just like, I never kind of thought that. I was like, oh yeah, like I still don't know if I'm even on the same page as everyone else, and now graduated, so I do think, yeah, I honestly I just felt like I didn't understand that was something everyone else was sort of, not everyone else but like other people were feeling,
yeah,
and it sort of just becomes something where you're like, oh, it's just me kind of thing. And then I think once I sort of learned that it was other people were feeling it as well, it did make it a little bit easier to manage, but it was there.
Yeah.
Honestly, me too. I think I was always really confident at school, and then I came to LSE and was like, oh my goodness, like everyone's so clever and rich, and I had a very different upbringing. I think I felt most challenged just by the differing experiences that people came into LSE with,
yeah,
and trying to find common ground there sometimes, and also just not knowing that people weren't judging me because of my background, and then probably not judging other people because of their background as well. I'd say was the main challenge. And I think one big thing for me was future careers and like internships and all of the conversation about that, not really knowing what I wanted to do afterwards and like how to go about getting an internship, etc. I just found that quite intimidating and probably retracted and was like, oh, I'm just not going to apply for any jobs or do an internship, like it's all nepotism anyway, which probably isn't the most responsible strategy moving forward. No. That wasn't the case, but I think it is that imposter syndrome that we've been talking about quite a lot.
I do think that's very understandable though, and in that vein, I'm wondering, there seems to sometimes be a divide between subject choices, so there's the more like humanities based and then the more, I don't know, financy, economics, you know, formally they do numbers. And I'm wondering, like, what do you guys think of, like, is that something that you notice when you actually reflect on student life at LSE? Do you see those gaps between, I don't know, maybe imposter syndrome, like class divides? Do you notice those things, or do you actually have a more holistic view and think that on the whole we're a nice uni?
I think it's difficult because I haven't been in classes with students, because I did politics and philosophy and we all did more qualitative subjects. Yeah. I think with quant subjects is a like more straightforward path of where you're going next. So it's more likely that you want to apply to jobs in the finance sector, etc. Whereas if you're taking a humanities or qualitative subject, there's 100 different places that you could be going in which case it becomes a little bit more confusing and it's not as obvious what you should be applying for. And then on the class divide, I think LSE is a very diverse community and I think there's people from all different backgrounds within each department. I don't think there's a divide between quant subjects and qual subjects.
No.
But it definitely, there's a divide in, I'd say, where you're going next and perhaps the certainty of what you want to be doing next. A lot of my friends who were doing economics, etc., kind of knew that after uni they'd be applying for a specific kind of category of jobs, and if they weren't doing that they'd perhaps feel quite disappointed and a bit of a failure if they hadn't managed to get that. However, my friends who were doing qualitative subjects were a lot more open-ended about their next step in the career they'd be working in.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I feel like in some ways then if you're say doing econ, but I don't know, you want to go into like policy or like, you know, work for subservice perhaps rather than like going into like banking or what have you, like maybe that's actually even harder because you are in the majority, and I'm sure there's lots of different people wanting to do different things. I think that's something that's, you know, it's hard to challenge, but thinking about like trying to like challenge that stereotype, which isn't necessarily always true, of like, well, everyone is masculine and stuff like that, and everyone works really hard, and like thinking about like how as a student body, like we can almost like take the pressure off each other, because I feel like sometimes it comes from obviously like uni and like the whole amount of work, but actually the sort of like, is competitiveness the right word? The sort of thing that actually like maybe doesn't foster the nicest culture of like, okay, yeah, like we're all just like doing our bit, like we're doing our best, and like, you know, everyone's gonna do different things. And obviously that's like quite a long term hard thing to challenge when everyone's like, it feels like everyone's like applying for spring weeks and like what have you, but like really I feel like when you break it down, loads of people aren't, loads of people are doing different things.
It's very true.
That's okay. Then so the new Marshall building, I feel like it has a really classy edge to it, and I kind of see myself in the Marshall building.
We all do.
Okay, because I wondered like if you were an LSE building,
what LSE building would you be?
And I know this is a weird question, but I actually constantly think about stuff when I walk around LSE, because sometimes I feel so displaced that I try and find comfort in
this is a amazing.
Yeah,
I'm really thinking about
I'm gonna put it out there, I'm on the center building.
I agree,
because that was my no biggie, that was my main place to study. I love the natural light.
Really? The natural light.
I love it. I love that there's a microwave on every floor.
Ooh. I didn't know that.
Yes. Many places to eat.
I don't know if we're allowed to use those microwaves.
All I've been. What are they going to do?
The
amount of free coffee I stole at the CBG from the government department is insane. Every couple of weeks, there'd be a little email going around being like, the coffee is for the staff only. We know who you are.
Your staff now, though.
I do it anyway.
But yeah, the centre book. And also, when I did my, I had to retake an exam after first year because I failed one. And my retake was in the centre building, and it was the first time an exam had been held in there. So I had the first ever exam in the centre building. It felt kind of cool. It's like, look at me doing a retake in this new building. I've made it.
That's so funny. Who's next?
I'm just trying to think. I don't think I like any of them.
Oh.
Okay. Just think of one I like, and then I'm going to say I'm not one.
Edit that out.
I'm trying to think, because like, I like the NAB, but I don't like the energy in there.
So I'm with you.
I don't like the NAB's energy.
Vibes. Like, I go in there, and it's just like...
It's really? Called the NAB, like a new building.
And it has like little circle thing inside. It's just...
They
it's
look like building. The Total Wipeout ball.
That's how you get onto spring. Yeah.
No, I think I'm definitely like St. Clement's. It's the geography building.
Oh, I knew you were gonna say that.
I really like it. Like, it's just like I was in there the other day, and like I never go in there, not really. But it's just so like it's kind of old, and like it's quite like, I don't know, again, it has microwaves. And I don't know, it's just like quite like it has a little nice common room, and like, yeah, the buildings are just like the rooms, not buildings, it's just quite like homely vibes, like a bit old, but just feels very relaxed.
So like, said it's old. Yeah. Get a room, Robin.
What about you?
Yeah, really difficult one. Apparently, unlike Joe said, I don't have a stock answer for this. I've never been asked this before.
No, it happened, actually.
Funnily enough, the first one that sprang to mind was a CBG, because I think that's where I spent most of my time working.
Yeah.
But I quite like a little throwback to the Canout House, which I'm not sure we still have anymore.
Canout House.
But that was the worst one on the Old Bridge, and that's where the old government department
used to be. I did not like that one.
I used to hang out in that corner a lot.
Yeah. None of us said the Sorcery Hawk.
I was going to say that. James is furious.
Yeah,
same. So, yeah, literally, I would come here. If it wasn't library, I'd just come here. I'd just eat my food, or I'd just sit here, or I'd just meet a friend here.
Okay.
Like, it's like, it was like the centre of campus for me here.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a really serious time.
Oh my god, sorry. I think about it so much. That is the answer,
And then my final question, but it's the most important question, is, so the library stairs, do you do, you know, the spiral?
Yeah.
Do you do two big strides or three mini steps? Because I stood it.
Wait, when you say three mini steps?
Wait.
You know, like, I do the big strides.
Always do the big strides.
Steps are like one, two, three onto the third one.
And then like 1, 2, 3.
I fell down those.
Really?
Yeah. Well, in summertime. No, just in summertime. It's hysterical. No one saw, so I was just left it walking down, like, as if no one saw this.
I reckon someone just saw and they were just trying like too embarrassed.
Maybe. Really hurt, actually.
Really hurt. I guess just take the
next one. Yeah, if you ever need to.
Yeah, help as well, please.
Help as well.
Do you guys follow any of the LSE meme pages? Did you guys see the one where it's like there's a poster next to the lift and it's like, if you want to like burn fat, don't take the lift, don't use the stairs? On.
Oh,
no one's seen it. Oh, damn.
Guys, it was like so funny.
Oh, yeah. I just had to be there. Yeah. No, I can understand.
I'm actually going to find it. Cool.
That was everything I was going to ask you guys. Aww. On this.
Oh, that's great. It's really funny. Thank you for listening to LSE Limelight with the SU Sabbatical Officers. That's all from us, but if you have any other questions or want to chat, please book an office hour or come and see us on the third floor of the Sorcery Hawk.